Wake Up with Aaron, Kerry and Sky. East Coast Radio.
So don't get freaked out. You know how you hear the Carte Blanche music on a Sunday and you know it's the end of the weekend? And when you hear the Wendy Nola music, the Consumer Watch music, you know it's a Thursday. And so you're going to hear it today on a Friday and you're going to freak out and you think you've lost the day. No, it is Friday. Wendy took a day off. She was lazy, decided to treat herself to a day off. And we had so many complaints, we decided we're going to phone her on a Friday. So that said, here is Wendy Nola and Consumer Watch.
Hello, Darren Moore. That was one very big porky pie, but we'll go with that. We're not letting listeners down.
I'm so glad that we have an opportunity to catch up with you. And you know what I'm going to allow you to do? I know that you have the busiest Facebook inbox right now. So as much time as we can with us, why don't you just give us some of your favorite inboxes and advice that you can give to them?
Well, so Bronwyn wrote to me and said, since working from home and having to claim expenses for my iPhone and data usage, I required detailed statements for my expense claims, and I noticed all these odd amounts being billed. One turned out to be insurance for a cell phone I bought in 2014. I upgrade every 2 years, so I realized I'd been paying insurance for 4 extra years on an iPhone I no longer have. It is my fault, as I didn't pick it up and query it, but the description on my account didn't make it at all clear that this was an insurance payment for a cell phone. And I have to say, I won't say a deluge of these complaints, but from time to time, I hear from someone who, like Bronwyn, has only just figured out this one woman had been paying insurance on a phone she last actually used 9 years earlier. Mm. So yet another reason to go through all your statements and make sure you know what every deduction is for and that it's still valid. So cell phone insurance is a common one where you think if you add a new handset to the policy that you're automatically signaling to the insurer that actually this replaces the other phone. You have to actually explicitly say that and do it in an email that you have some documentary proof of that. Out of that experience, I just want to give my top tips on cell phone insurance. When you upgrade, so-called upgrade, you're not actually upgrading your contract, you are taking out a new contract. Make sure that you update your cell phone insurance at the same time. Don't just assume that they know to take the old handset off. For a claim to be valid with your network provider, the listed SIM must be in the device at the time of the event. This is if you take out insurance through your cell phone provider. If you put another SIM other than your contract SIM into that phone for whatever reason, to get better coverage or whatever, and that phone gets stolen or drowned or whatever, you will not have a valid claim. A lot of people don't realize
really?
That.
Really? I did not know that.
Check the replacement value on your insurance so that if you do need to make a claim, you're going to be able to buy a replacement phone. Always compare prices between what the network is offering you and what your private short-term insurance policy would offer you. And it won't matter what SIM is in the phone. They're insuring the actual phone. You're not tied into the network. It's got nothing to do with the network. And then as I started off saying, always check your bank statements so that you know what you're paying for and you know that you're not paying for something that's irrelevant to you that you can't possibly benefit from. So thank you, Bronwyn, for reminding me to give that reminder again, because I know for sure that many listeners are going to discover just what Bronwyn discovered. Precious of Winkelspruit. Perennial one, this. Companies offering lay-by, but not in the legal way. So the CPA, the Consumer Protection Act, says that if you buy something on lay-by, so you put down a deposit and then you pay it off, but unlike with a credit card, you don't get the goods straight away. They remain in the store, the store's property, until you've paid your last installment, so to speak. And then you get the goods. So you can't have instant gratification with this deal, but there's no interest. It's incredibly consumer friendly because you get to cancel that deal for whatever reason. It doesn't have to be a particular reason. You just get to say, I've changed my mind. Please, can I cancel the deal? And you get an almost full refund. You get a refund of everything you've paid up until that point, minus just 1% of the purchase price. It is a really good way to buy stuff now, as long as you don't have the need for instant gratification. So Precious, I saw an advert on Facebook at a catering store for a bandsaw. The advert was for 8,450 Rand. She put 5,000 Rand down as a lay-by, only to find that the balance on the invoice was 4,000 Rand, which is 550 Rand more than it should have been. And when they disputed it, they were told, sorry, sometimes the ads, you know, are dated. And she said, well, I want to cancel. And they said, you can cancel, but there's a 25% cancellation penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Completely illegal. I haven't named the company. It is a KZN-based company. I've had an issue with them once before. I don't want to name them until I've given them the right of response, but I'm really looking forward to taking this one up. Just to say two things out of Precious's experience. Number one, done properly, lay-by is an extremely friendly way to buy stuff, extremely consumer-friendly way to buy stuff. You could change your mind for no particular reason and get back all your money minus just that 1%. Yeah, done properly, lay-by is fantastic, and it's become extremely mainstream now because of this was even before lockdown. So you can imagine now where people are really cash strapped. It's a really good proposition, but as I said, it must be done properly. And then finally, online sales. I got a question from a woman who had bought a rug on an online sale, didn't like the color, didn't sort of, to her mind, match the color that it seemed to be on the website. Mm-hmm. And when she wanted to return it within hours of it being delivered, she was told, oh, no can do because it was a sale. So absolutely, that's completely irrelevant. They could have done that, incidentally, if the sale, as it had been pre-COVID every year, this company called Hertex, if it had been in their factory or their warehouse and you went in and there was a big rummage and you picked the carpet, chose it out of the pile and you paid. If she'd then got home and come back and said, I don't like the color, they could have said, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. We don't have to take it back. And anyway, these were our sale conditions. We might have taken it back under other conditions, but you came, you saw, you chose, you took, and now there's no recourse. But online, something doesn't have to be defective for you to just change your mind within 7 days and say, I don't want it. I want my money back. Or I want to choose another one. So she was within her rights to do that. When I approached the company, they said, oh, our bad. It's the first time we've done it online. We just transferred our usual terms and conditions from our actual physical sale to our online sale, and we'll correct that. So good for them.
That's three mails that have been taken care of. Only 1,175,000.
You said it.
If you have any consumer issues whatsoever that were not covered in the last couple of years, you can get a hold of Wendy directly on her Facebook. It's Wendy Nola Consumer, K in Nola, C in Consumer, and there's a mail option over there. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Darren.
Wake up with Darren, Carrie and Skye. East Coast Radio.